Something's feeling different, like a weight is lifted. Woke up feeling like today's a holiday. Rain turned into blue skies. After all these years, I think I'm finally turning a page. Cause I can finally live without a voice in my head. And I can finally sleep when I'm alone in my bed. And I know we ain't talking, but I thought that I'd let you know. First time last night, I heard someone say your name. I realized that I forgot about you. Finally forgot about you.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 90 of The Locker Room. We've got a great show for you today with our guest, Ethan Fink, an NHL agent for CAA, Creative Artist Agency. I think it's Creative, or is it Creative Arts? I don't know. Either way, great NHL agent, great interview, really fun guy, good friend of mine. As always, I'm Johnny Lazarus, joined by Justin Kapelmaster, Cappy, Jake Asman, and our newest member of the team, Brett Hamfling. Quick round of applause. Brett, the floor is yours. Introduce yourself. Tell the people who
snaps,
you are.
Snaps for Brett. Snaps
Thank
for Brett.
You guys. I appreciate those literal claps and snaps. I appreciate you guys for having me, for welcoming me into the Locker Room fam. I've been watching what you guys have been building. I think it's great. I really admire it. I think you guys are really good at what you do. You're funny. You have good guests. So I'm excited to join the team. You know, help out where I can, you know, do a little social, a little video, join these intros and try to take this to the next level. To tell the Locker Room fam out there who I am, my name is Brett Hamfling. Uh-huh. I'm from Roslyn, Long Island. I went to school at the University of Florida, you know, came back to New York, big sports fan, Giants, Knicks, Mets, you know, like pop culture and movies and TV. And, you know, I'm probably the biggest Chelsea Cutler Quinn 92 fan nice. On this podcast. So.
I don't know. But that first part of the introduction, I think that might have been like a job interview. You're already part of the team.
he checked off every box that you look for in a podcast host for this show.
I mean, yeah, literally.
I don't want to just say, hey, guys, you know, I appreciate you guys. I think you're already building something. So I appreciate you guys sort of slotting me in.
Another cool girlfriend guy to the bunch, right? You have a girlfriend?
I do have a girlfriend. She stood me up for the Chelsea Cutler Quinn concert, just like Laz, which I thought was hilarious.
Pretty funny. This guy's kissing my ass.
Well, because once I heard you said that, I was like, this has literally happened to me. And I was so excited for it, just like you were.
And then
I didn't get her a video, though, like you did. So I looked like a bad boyfriend.
I was just going to say, your girlfriend comes up to you. Well, you didn't do the video like Johnny did.
I put you to shame. But Cappy, Asman, say what's up, boys.
How you doing? Am I saying just what's up to Brett, or am I saying just what's up to everyone listening? I mean, either way, it's great to be here. Another great week, and I'm ready to podcast.
What's up, everybody? Back from a big wedding weekend. Shout out to Austin and Allie again. It was a gorgeous, gorgeous wedding. Happy to have Brett on as well. I didn't even know this before. Brett and I have an extremely close friend in common. Shout out to the Mombacks and Grant Momback. Absolute beauty of a kid and beauty of a family. I've known him since I was like 3 years old, so it's just funny. Another small world Jewish geography there.
Well, now they have to listen. They probably didn't listen just when it was you. Now they have to listen to both of us.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, we'll get him in there. But like I said, it was a great weekend for me. Great great wedding. It was actually my first.
You're pretty
like,
hot in that picture you posted.
Did I? Thank you, with the glasses. Yeah, I was.
Yeah, you look good.
It's tough to not look hot at a wedding, honestly. You throw on a tux and everyone looks good.
You need to. It's a lot of pressure, that's for sure. But I will say it was very cool. I don't know. I think I told you this, Johnny, but they had the wedding reception at my buddy Austin, who was the groom, played junior hockey, kind of like we did. And obviously a billet family, when you go away, you live with like a family. Mm-hmm. And his billet family had a huge property and they hosted the whole wedding. It was beautiful, like unbelievable. It was so cool.
Yeah, it looked awesome. I love weddings. Weddings are the fucking best. But everyone says too, like I was saying this weekend, because I went to a wedding on Saturday also, I guess, shout out to the Taos and Shenfields. But I was saying before, like weddings are fucking awesome. And then, you know, Brett, you could probably test this a little more because you've probably been to a lot more than us, just because you're a little older, no offense. But like people say, like, dude, you're going to love weddings now, but when you have a wedding every fucking Saturday, you're going to hate them. And I was like, that kind of sucks. Like, I feel like it's so fun. Like, I don't want to hate going to weddings.
I actually haven't been to that many. I guess my friends...
Immature.
I guess. Yeah, they were all single until recently. Now most of them have girlfriends, but I've been to a few. They're all fun. I agree. My brother's 4 years older. He says the same thing. He's tired of them. Right now, I want to be invited to everyone I can.
Same here.
It's funny though. Like, I don't know why it always happens like this, but I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but I looked on Snapchat and there was 17 different weddings the same exact weekend I was at. Mm-hmm. I was like, what the hell is going on?
Well, the new thing is like these engagement parties have been coming up on my feed more and more. So it's like not even just a wedding, but then you have a party just to celebrate two people getting engaged, which feels like a wedding with all the things you see on social media. So it's like the new thing that's happening.
Well, think about it too, because COVID canceled so many weddings. Now all those weddings that were happening during COVID are happening now, plus the weddings that were going to be happening this year already. So I feel like it's just like the biggest wedding season ever. Like I have three fucking weddings and I don't even know that many people that are like engaged. You know, it's just like all carried over from COVID. But I do want to give a shout out to the Addis family also, because I had a couple of drinks with Al's mom and dad. Al's not here tonight, neither is Maxie. They're playing softball, but I told him I'd give him a shout out to the parents, and I actually took a selfie with the dad. And I play on a softball team with Al and Max, not now but in the summer, and they always bat me fucking last. So I told the parents to write, like, they actually sent to Jake and Jordy as well, but they're like, got to bat last cleanup next year. He's the best hitter on the team. So hopefully they listen to that.
How accurate is that though? Like, do you deserve to be the last batter?
I suck.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to earn your stripes, man. You got to, you know, spend some time in the cage and get that swing figured out.
I don't know when I became such a pussy, but I'm actually like, I hit the ball in softball and it like hurts my hand. Like I don't get how these like professional batters hit like 105 mile per hour fastball. I'm hitting like a slow pitch softball and my hand hurts. I'm not kidding.
True though. I mean, I'm not good at baseball either. Don't get me wrong, but it does fucking hurt. I could just picture like the pitchers and like the other team though when you're like walking out the dugout, like, here we go, boys, easy out.
Yeah. Bring it a little bit. Well, for some reason I always end up batting when there's two outs already, and I always make the last out, and that's like the worst fucking feeling ever.
It's all on you. It's all on you.
It sucks. But I also actually, while we're giving shout outs to the Addis family, I do want to give a shout out to two locker room guests. Thursday's a big day. Maxie's actually joining me. We're going to Make Believe for the We Met at Acme event, which will be fun. Singles event. I'm going with Ellie though, you know, just to network and have a good time. But after that, that's actually the pregame for the Jake Miller concert. I'm seeing Jake Miller live for the first time at LPR. So that'll be a lot of fun. So big locker room day on Thursday.
Oh, that's a heck of a night.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
First off, that's going to be unbelievable. I'm jealous I can't go to that. But you just reminded me, just mentioning Maxie's name. Speaking of Max and going back to weddings, Max was at a wedding this weekend. He calls me out of the blue. He ran into some agent for the Philadelphia Flyers and was, you know, Maxie, probably just a networking machine over at that wedding.
I'm Adam Fox's boy.
I guess name dropped me and stuff like that. So, I mean, we'll see if anything happens like that. But cool that Maxie's got my back. But yeah, I'd love to see Max at like a wedding. Just like, I feel like he's got the glasses on, just absolutely just networking. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a big wedding guy, I'm sure. I know that that Brett, you want to talk about Squid Games?
Have you guys heard of it? I think Cappy's seen it. Jake, have you heard of it, Squid Games?
I got to be honest. I have no idea what Squid Games is.
Okay. Well, it's wild. This is a show that you will hear. You'll hear from friends. You'll start to see trickling on social media. So it's a Korean Netflix show. It's fully Korean. It's Korean subtitle. I mean, it's in Korean with subtitles. You can watch it dubbed, but I don't do that. It is nuts. Like, I was hooked from the first minute. It just has a vibe. And I'll tell you the premise. This isn't giving anything away. It's sort of like down on their luck people in debt with like crappy lives. They join a game show and they sort of play like silly games, like kid games for big prizes. I think it's up to $30 million, but you find out pretty quickly that you could actually die in the game. I mean, that's not giving anything away. If you watch the trailer, it'll show that in 2 minutes, but it just is this wild vibe. It's violent, but not scary. It's just, I don't know what to say. It's amazing.
Well, you lost me at the, it's in Korean and there's subtitles. Cause I can't do that shit.
No. Before you continue, Brett, this show, like, you're definitely very skeptical, like, when you watch it. Cause like, I mean, who wants to watch a show in Korean, like in full Korean with subtitles? Like
Korean people.
It's definitely a little much, but it's one of these shows that like, I've never seen anything like it. Kind of like The White Lotus was, like, just like a different show to come on Netflix, but this is like very unique. And I mean, I told you guys the other night, I crushed through this whole show pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those endings that's just extremely shocking. But if you could pay attention to the subtitles, like, it's very good. And Netflix actually has it where you can do, I don't know if you guys seen this, like, you can do like subtitles in English, English. Like, you can like turn the Korean and they could speak like English. It won't be like the actual voices. You know what I mean?
Wait, that's not a subtitle. Yeah,
not a subtitle. But
That's what I said when you have it dubbed. But
yeah. But the mouse all off, probably, right?
No, it's not good. You can't do it dubbed. You cannot do it dubbed. But Laz, I saw you posted the thing on Instagram the other day about the whole subtitles thing. Like, talk about that, because me, like, even if this show wasn't Korean, I'm putting it in subtitles regardless, because I mean, there's just some things I feel like some people get, like, some people like it, some people don't. I mean,
yeah. Wait, so you have subtitles on no matter the show you're watching, Cap?
Yeah, 100%. Usually, I don't know.
I hate I like that. It. That's so distracting. I feel like that's like a job. Like, I'm reading what there's the subtitles instead of being able to enjoy the show.
I used to watch The Office on, because I watch on Ellie's accounts, and Ellie has subtitles on all of them. And I would watch The Office or even like Dave, and the subtitles are on. And I'm like, I'm reading and I want to be watching.
So I'm against subtitles, but I'm extremely against it if it's a comedy like The Office, because it throws the whole comedic timing off.
Right.
The whole point of comedy is these, you know, the timing and the phrasing. So I don't like it at all, but especially for someone like The Office, I can't do it.
I remember what I was going to say. Rob Taub actually DM'd us. He replied to that story and said, I threw subtitles on for Ted Lasso because I couldn't understand sometimes when they were talking with their British accents. So I was like, okay, in that sense, that makes sense, because, you know, it's hard to understand everything that Roy Kent says sometimes, or like Jamie Tart.
It's not that hard though. Like, the English accent is not, I don't know, maybe because I went to camp and I grew up around a bunch of like Brits every single summer for 10 years. But I don't know, man. Like, I actually am in the middle of watching Ted Lasso right now. It's like my new favorite show. Like, I'm very late on TV shows all the time. Like, I'm always watching sports at night. So for me to watch a TV show, like, enough people got to finally tell me to watch it before I actually do it. So like, Ted Lasso, I'm finally getting around to it, and like, it's my favorite show ever right now.
Yeah, no, it's great. So good.
I'm already caught up to date on Ted Lasso as well. It's extremely addicting.
How many episodes are in season two? Like, am I gonna be able to catch up in time to watch it live with everybody else?
Probably 100%. Yeah. There's not too many right now. There's got to be like 6 or 7, I think.
There's 10 out, and 10? Okay, I think 10, there's 10. So I think you only have like 2 more weeks, probably.
Ooh, all right. Close. I'll be able to catch up. I watched like photo finish a day. Yeah, we'll get it done.
I don't know why, but I thought the like secret sandwich, I thought that was so funny, that part of when they like every Friday they bring in like a secret sandwich for the other coach. I don't know if you got to that part.
Who's your guest favorite character in that?
That was a very good Heldon yawn. That was very impressive.
I'm glad you noticed that.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that was.
Well, Jake, why don't we go into the Chipotle brisket? Because I know we're all, I don't know, Brett, have you tried that yet?
I have not. I didn't know they had it.
Oh, dude.
I don't think they do have it still. I don't know if I believe you guys.
They do. I had it for lunch yesterday in the city.
I had it for dinner back-to-back nights, but, you know, it's not like I go to Chipotle every night or anything like that.
No, this Chipotle brisket's absolutely legit. I thought it was also extremely funny how it was like the day I got back from the wedding as well on the plane, and I like opened my Snapchat, and I think already two of the boys in the locker room Snapchat already were on their way to try the Chipotle brisket. So I felt like it was like everybody kind of did it on the same day. So good on us, boys, but It was legit. I think it's legit. I told all my friends too. I think it's something that I'll get occasionally, but it's not like the chicken where it's like my go-to. I think like Jake can attest to that. Like, you're going to go in, you're going to get your go-to bowls with your chicken. You know, that you can't go wrong with the chicken at Chipotle, but definitely we'll get the brisket again. It's great.
We'll have to add Brett to that Snap group, but also shout out to Margo White sitting at my cubicle. She posted it tonight in a quesadilla. And I was like, oh my God, that looks, dude, the quesadilla. Like, I got it in a burrito, but a brisket quesadilla sounds so fucking good.
It's legit, dude. Like, I would say if it's bad. Like, Chipotle is my favorite thing on the planet, as everyone knows who listens to this show. But, you know, I'm not a fan of Chipotle's queso, right? So, like, I'd be the first to tell you that. This is legit. And I'm in Texas, man. So, like, there's high standards for a brisket around here. So, let me tell you, like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's better than, like, authentic, you know, Tex-Mex you get here in Houston. But it's really good. And I think it will be here for a while. Like, Chipotle's not just going to have this as, like, a one-off and then they're going to get rid of it. Like, I think enough people are going to enjoy this that it's going to be, like, a main staple of meat options. Here's something I'd recommend for you to try. So I normally do half chicken, half steak. Last two nights I've done half brisket, half chicken, and it's been, like, a really good mix inside the bowl.
We're turning into a Chipotle podcast.
Yeah. We really should be.
Every week, I think we talk about it. So I know you guys saw I was at the Giants game on Sunday and they honored Eli Manning. And like, just for me as a sports fan, like, I've seen, you know, the Knicks retire numbers with Patrick Ewing and the Rangers with like Brian Leach, Adam Graves, Richter, all that. And those ceremonies, like, you know, those are pregame, like hour and a half long ceremonies. It feels super intimate. Other players kind of speak. Dude, I was at this Giants game and they rolled out a fucking thing 10 minutes for halftime. And Eli spoke for about 2 minutes. And it was like, I love Eli Manning, but I thought it was the worst retirement ceremony ever. Like, it felt super rushed. Like, Eli barely got to like pour his heart out. Yeah, they reenacted the Tyree catch, the Manningham catch, like barely. But like I thought it was kind of a disservice to everything that Eli Manning did for New York sports. I don't know if you guys watched it, but I'm like Henrik Lundqvist announced his retirement ceremony for January 28th, and that's going to be like an hour and a half, 2 hour long ceremony. Like that's going to be so like. Like the entire Madison Square Garden, me chanting Henrik. Like he's not gonna be able to fucking say a word for the first 10 minutes. Talking like
different,
but I don't know, man. Like it just felt so rushed, and like it wasn't even that cool. Like I thought it'd be such a sick ceremony, but I wasn't really a big fan of it.
That's just how football does it, unfortunately. Like yeah. Football always does these ceremonies at halftime, and you're just trying to squeeze it in because before the game you can't do it because the players are warming up and they take forever to warm up. It's just not something that's ever done before the game. So football kind of always has it. What was brutal about the Eli thing? I mean, you were at the game last year. You got to see it. They didn't show it on TV.
Like, oh, really?
They should have showed it the entire ceremony at halftime of the game, but you couldn't see it unless you watched it online afterwards, or like they showed a clip of it on the Fox broadcast for the game. But I was looking forward to watching it as well. And you know, they didn't show it. I had to go online to watch it because I wanted to see it as well. I mean, I'm a Jets fan, but I love Eli Manning, and you know, I was looking forward to the ceremony, and it does get rushed because of the nature of just how football does things.
I didn't realize
I'm with
that.
You, Jake. I saw all like the highlights on social media and stuff like that because like they didn't show it especially on TV. I mean, I guess I wasn't able to like watch it like I guess as close as you did last. So like I didn't see as like some specific things and stuff like that. But like you watch hockey retirement ceremonies and stuff like that. Like there, it's a big show. It's all like it's a big deal. The jersey,
I like race, that.
You know, that yeah. I love it. Oh, I think it's legit. I agree. They should have done more with Eli Manning. He's a legend. He's a legend mm-hmm. with the Giants. He's a legend in the sport. But then
he's
again,
great on like, TV
it,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Put it on TV. But then again, it is what it is. And I'm sure they'll do more and continue to do more. And, but then again, I do want to get your guys' thoughts on like the whole Manning situation that they got for Monday Night Football now, or not just Monday Night Football.
Yeah. It's Monday Night.
It's Monday Night. Sorry. Yeah. For Monday Night Football. I personally think like it's a good little like takeaway, not like takeaway, like a good change of pace from like the normal broadcasting. And I think they do a great job playing off each other, in my opinion.
I love it. It's my favorite thing. I have watched basically every minute of the first three Monday night games only on the Manning cast. It's gotten better each week. They're comfortable with each other. Eli is honestly the star of it because Peyton's Peyton, but like Eli picks and chooses his spots when he wants to take little shots at Peyton. I mean, some of the one-off liners that Eli's fired off has been great. I mean, him giving the double birds on accident and thinking that ESPN could blur it out in real time was hysterical. Yeah, the guests have been great. Like, you know, it's just, it's been great. I think it's, and honestly, if you use Monday night's game as an example, that's why it's going to work because like the Cowboys Eagles game was a blowout. The game was never in jeopardy for like a point spread perspective. Like you're only watching that game if you're a real football fan, and Eli and Peyton, you could watch the entire game, even if it's a blowout, because they're really entertaining just talking about football and they have good guests on. So I love it. I think it's here to stay.
I like it. I think that everyone is going a little over the top just because it's something new and something cool and interesting. And there's a lot of good clips. I think it's entertaining. I wish Peyton would do a little bit more play by play. I don't like watching sports without volume, like at a bar, because I love the play by play. I wish they just did a little bit more of that. Sometimes I would like to know who got the sack. I agree. Once it's a blowout, it's good to just hang out with them and joke around, and they have good guests. I also don't think all the guests work, partly because they're all in separate rooms, and it's sort of the Zoom aspect where sometimes they cut into each other. Like if you saw Brett Favre last week, he wasn't really good. Gronk's audio was off. I think overall it's a good change of pace and it's going the right direction. But I think they have a little bit still to work out.
On another note, I know this was talked about like really when like Tony Romo really started the broadcast, but it's actually sickening how spot on he is with his pre-snap calls, like on the broadcast, like mm-hmm. just listening to it. He knows every single goddamn play that's going to be called. And he lets you know right before it's happening. Like, I wish you could like live bet, like, you know what I mean? Like just wait till Tony Romo and then bam, play. Put it right in.
The thing though, that I think is cool is that I don't think it could really work with any other sport. Like I don't see hockey doing it. I don't see basketball doing it. Baseball, like, I think baseball is cool and they have like an outfielder mic'd up. I think that's pretty awesome. Like I love when that happens.
You're saying like Eli, the Manning show, like what they do.
Yeah. I don't think it could work for any other sport because football, like, you know, there's only there's a play for like 10 seconds and then there's like a 30 second in between where they can actually really talk. Like it's not like it's continuous play. So I think it only works for football. Really?
I think it could easily work for baseball, but like, I'm not obviously a big baseball fan.
Yeah. I don't know.
Baseball's so slow. It could easily work for baseball.
Yeah. Baseball,
football's
I guess baseball's
great, though. Football is the perfect sport for it, though.
I agree, yeah.
of just like the nature of how the game is structured. Football is also the best sport to watch on TV. Like the field's a grid. It's perfect for a rectangular TV screen. Like literally it's like the perfect sport for TV. Brett, I get your point, by the way, about not having a play-by-play guy, because like I'm a huge play-by-play junkie as well. But that's why I like the fact that you still have the traditional broadcast. Like if the Jets were playing on Monday Night Football, I probably wouldn't watch the Manning cast, because I'd want like the actual broadcast for the game, because you see more of like the play-to-play stuff. But if you're just looking just to like be entertained and, you know, it's a blowout, like the Manning cast is perfect for something like that.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Speaking of all this Monday Night Football talk, boys, I mean, I didn't do so well myself, but I hope you guys did. And next Monday Night Football game, you better get your asses to UnderdogFantasy.com. Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy for big cash prizes. On Underdog Fantasy, you just draft and no need to worry about waivers, lineups, or injuries. Underdog handles it all for you. Go to UnderdogFantasy.com or download the app, draft a season-long basketball team, and that's it. No in-season management. They're going to give you $25 when you sign up, so you can take a free shot at a $1 million grand prize in their fantasy football tournament. That's right. You can get a $25 in bonus cash on Underdog Fantasy if you use our code LOTKA when you first make your first deposit. I love Underdog personally because it's just so easy to use. The mobile app is slick and the website is user-friendly. So do what I've been doing. Go to UnderdogFantasy.com, join a league, draft a team, and that's it. You're good for the season. Remember UnderdogFantasy.com in the App Store or Google Play Store, and our code LATKE LOTKA, and get a free $25 in bonus cash.
Guys, real quick, Curb Your Enthusiasm, season 11 premieres October 24th. On HBO. The promo was hysterical. It was basically like, the world has changed. He hasn't. And then it's Larry David just coming out on the screen. He's the GOAT. Curb theme song, played it on the radio show today. Can't wait for it, man. Curb's arguably the best show on TV over the last 20 years. And I cannot wait to watch season 11.
Curb coming out, by the way, on the that picture of him at the, what was it? I think the Rams Bucks game was absolutely beautiful. He just looks like typical Curb fashion, like, what is this guy doing here kind of thing? Like, just in the wrong place. I'm so excited for the new season, though.
Larry hasn't aged. He looks exactly the same as he did in 2000 really as he does in 2021. It's unbelievable.
He's a good looking old guy.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear his take on COVID, because he has a spin on everything, and this is COVID as big as it gets. I'm a little worried that it's going to absolutely dominate the season. I trust Larry and them to figure it out, but I'm excited it's back. People forget how funny the last season was because it was a while ago, but with the coffee shop and Mocha Joe, I can't wait for Curb to come back.
Larry David's still the second best LD in my mind.
Little Dicky?
Yep, he's my GOAT.
Dave Bird, actually, is his name.
Yeah, but he goes by LD.
Does he? Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
He does. He does. You guys want to go into OFN real quick?
Not real quick, but let's do it.
If we said no, would you just, you wouldn't have gone into it anyway?
Honestly, yeah, it wasn't even a question. We have to do it.
We had to. It's when I signed my contract to be part of this program. It was OFN had to be done every episode.
Yes. So, Brett, I don't know if you know or are not familiar, but OFN, we do it every week. Similar to a Fuck, Kill, Marry, but it stands for once, forever, and never. We pick three different things, talk about which one we want to have for the rest of our life, which one we can have just like one more time, and which one we can care less about. So this week we're going to do breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I like sending it over to Asmund first, because Asmund always has the best breakdowns and he always makes me change my thought process. So Asmund, why don't you lead us off?
That's not good though. You got to have conviction in your opinion. You can't be so easily swayed just because I, you know, came on before you and had a take that you heard.
I'm very easily influenced.
All right. I want to have like be able to have like sound effects like every time like Laz like kicks it over. I want to be like, and now it's time for a Jake Asmund breakdown.
And then, well, you can just do that every time.
Yeah, we'll just take that and just edit that in every week.
Yeah, exactly. Boom,
we got the sounder. All right, I could get us going here. So OFM this week is breakfast, lunch, and dinner. This is tough because I have famously said that I'm not a breakfast guy just because I'm never up that early. I like to sleep in, but I do like breakfast food. So I don't want you people being like, oh, this man's hating on breakfast food. No, that's not the case. I like breakfast food. I just don't get a chance to eat a whole lot of it. That being said, here we go. My once has got to be lunch, just because I like lunch, but I'm all about the big dinner to get you through lunch to the next day. So I don't believe breakfast is the most important meal of the day. I think dinner is, because it's got to get me to lunch the following day. That's been my philosophy for a while. So my once is a lunch. My forever has got to be dinner, because I just set it up how dinner to me is the best meal. You go to the nice fancy place, you do the fast food for dinner. You know, there's all different types of dinners you could do. To me, it's the most important meal. I eat Chipotle for most dinners. That's my favorite type of meal. So dinner for me got to be my forever. And then my never, I mean, it's got to be breakfast. Not that I don't like it. I just, my process of elimination, I'm just never up to really eat it. As much as I love the diner, as much as I love, you know, bacon, egg and cheese, it's just, it's not for me, man. It's not for me. So I got to go breakfast for my never. So once lunch, forever dinner, never breakfast.
Let me ask you this, because I think it will happen in the next couple of years. If Chipotle does get breakfast burritos, does that sway your answer?
I will definitely try it and get up a lot earlier to give it a whirl. I don't know if it would change my answer, though, because I can't imagine ever valuing breakfast more than I do the other two meals.
Fair enough.
You know what's very unique, and I found, and I don't, I'm not going to say Chipotle specifically done this, but have you ever been in an airport and there's like, you'll go to a restaurant that's normally a lunch or a dinner place, but they're open at 9 a.m. serving breakfast?
Qdoba.
So like, yeah, like Qdoba, exactly. Like that. So like, I'm not saying I've seen a Chipotle do that, but it could have happened.
It's definitely Qdoba. I've seen Qdoba do that a bunch of times.
Yeah. Well, you could do breakfast tacos. Like Chipotle could get into that if they really wanted to be open for breakfast.
They should.
That would be delicious. But, back to the Chipotle podcast that we run.
Yeah. Cap, you want to go?
Yeah. I'll hop in next. I'm going to make mine, you know, pretty simple.
You're a breakfast guy. I feel like
I'm a breakfast guy through and through.
Athletes are always breakfast guys. So you guys get up early to train.
Breakfast is my forever. I've just always been like that. I feel like even growing up, like there was nights throughout the week where like my parents would be like, all right, like nothing's planned for dinner. Let's go to like Denny's for dinner or IHOP. Mm-hmm. Like I just like, I could eat breakfast any time of the day. I can get a bacon, egg and cheese and I can get pancakes. Like I can just, I don't know. I love it so much. I guess my wants, I'm going to lunch. I feel like there's just such a wide variety of lunch and I just love a good sandwich. And sandwich to me is lunch food. And I can basically eat any kind of sandwich and be absolutely satisfied. That being said, I don't know what categorizes lunch, because I can get lunch portions of something else. And I don't know. It's very confusing to me. This is a very hard OFN. I'm kind of panicking right now, but it's okay. With that being said, I'm going to do my never dinner. Unfortunately, like Asmin, kind of just like the odd one out, got to do it. But it is what it is. What do you got for us, Brett?
Jake was scared to hurt the breakfast people of the world. I'm not going to dance. Breakfast is an easy never for me.
Wow.
One, it's both the food. I don't think it's just as good of food. And I don't need to eat that big of a meal. I like to have a small breakfast so I can go crazy on lunch and dinner. And, you know, you can't go huge all three. I don't like pancakes or eggs. They're just not as good as like a steak or a pizza or burger or pasta. So breakfast is my never. Lunch and dinner, I love both, but I'm going to go lunch is my once. Dinner is my forever. Dinner is just like this big, it's the whole night for me. It's like, what is my night? It's centered around dinner. I'm upset when it's over.
Great take.
Like, you know, like I'm like, oh, what do I have now? I can watch some TV and hang out, but like dinner's over. It's just this grand thing. And also, I just think like dinner, you go big. You eat a steak, you eat pasta, you eat Chipotle if you're Jake. So that's my breakdown.
Nobody plans like their big day around the big lunch they have. That's a great point by Brett. You plan your night around like, oh, we're doing dinner. And then like dinner is like the star of the evening. He's like, I was just in Vegas over the weekend, guys. Like each night we capped it off with a great dinner. Like dinner is all about the star of whatever you're doing that night.
I completely agree with you, but I'm a huge, 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 huge brunch guy. So what do you got to say about that? No brunch? Like, you know,
I'll usually get lunch food at brunch. I enjoy being at lunch with friends and doing the whole thing and drinking and hanging out. But I would usually go like a sandwich over an omelet or something like that.
Agreed. Laz, what do you got for us?
Yeah, lunch is my forever. Like I love lunch. I love a sandwich. I love wings. I love pizza in the middle of the day. Like for me, especially now, you know, now working in an office too, like lunch is kind of the only meal where I'm like in control of. I feel like, I get my own lunch and then, you know, I'm still living home. So I got to commute home and I got to ask my mom and dad what's for dinner. And it, you know, maybe I have a men's league hockey game and I just got to eat a peanut butter and jelly or get a slice of pizza before the game. Like I always have to rush dinner and I don't really get to enjoy it. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm thinking more on the day to day and not the trips to Vegas with my boys. you know, if I'm in Vegas, obviously the day is planned around dinner. Like, that's just a fact. But, you know, in the normal day-to-day life, I actually don't even eat breakfast Monday through Friday. I only eat breakfast, like, on the weekends. Usually get, like, a bagel, obviously, or a bacon, egg, and cheese. But I've been doing the intermittent fast for, like, the last year, which has been great. My body's
Is that what it is? Yeah, you look wonderful.
Thank you. No, I honestly don't really go to the gym anymore, so I just, like, literally starve myself to 1 o'clock every day. And it's been great. People say I look so thin, and I'm like, I don't do anything. I just don't eat.
What does Ellie think of this?
What's up, Brett? I'll tell you. I'll go back to that in a second.
I want to hear about Ellie first.
Okay, so I mean, Ellie's actually a big, big, big breakfast person. She always cooks her own breakfast and, like, makes it a really cool production. Like, she sends me a Snapchat every morning of, like, her avocado toast with a poached egg on top of it. And she's, you know, she's actually a very good chef. So kudos to Ellie. But yeah, she actually likes it because she doesn't feed me breakfast ever. So it's nice.
I will say, though, before you go ahead, Brett, that's a fair statement that with lunch being your forever, like, you're at work now and you're working, like, you look forward to your lunch break.
Step out of the office. Yeah. I love lunch. Like, I think lunch is awesome. And
every day, what am I gonna do for lunch? That sounds good.
Like, I get FICO's in the city, a nice chicken colored prosciutto sandwich, pesto balsamic.
It makes my
entire day, dude. It makes me so happy. But then obviously dinner, I'll go once. Like, everyone loves the big group dinner, and you know, if I was getting one last send off, one last crazy dinner with my friends, it'd be a lot of fun for dinner. And then, like I said, like breakfast, I all I need is like a bacon, egg, and cheese maybe once a week, or a bagel at Lox once a week, and I'm set. But for me, dude, nothing beats, especially in New York, Cappy, you know, nothing beats that chicken cutlet sandwich, dude. It's the best.
Oh, no. I'm sure if Max was on here too, he would probably say this forever. And I wouldn't, and I don't doubt that. Like, you cannot go wrong with lunch food, with the sandwiches, with the pizzas and stuff like that. There's no way. Which is why lunch was none of our nevers, which I thought we all agreed.
That's true. We all agreed. Lunch was not a never for anyone. All in all, good OFN. Again, these were so fun. I actually look forward to these every week. They're so fun. I mean, it's funny too, because like, we don't have like a lot of these categories prepped or anything. It kind of just like happens like weekly, like something will click and then, oh, this week's OFN, you know? So if anyone has any suggestions, like DM us, whatever, like we love doing this shit. So feel free, but I think we should send it over to Ethan Fink. You guys ready to send it over?
Let's do it. Before we do, is there a shout out we want to give?
Yes. Got to give a shout out to Jordan Rosenberg, who I've actually talked to a lot. He's hopefully going to come on the podcast. He does a lot of the styling for, you know, professional athletes. And Ethan told me to give him a shout out before the interview. And, you know, Jordan does a great job because Ethan's obviously a very stylish guy. So Jordan does a good job styling people with their clothes and everything. And I always see him posting with professional athletes in their outfits. So maybe one day he'll come on here and he'll hook us up with some cool clothes. So without further ado, though, shout out to Jordan. And I think we should send it over to Ethan Fink.
Let's do it.
This guy grew up in Los Angeles, California, and was bar mitzvahed at Temple Judea. He's become a very successful NHL agent at CAA Hockey and has become a very good friend of mine through the computer and through the phone, but happy to finally have him face to face. Well, I guess the computer again, but welcome to the podcast, Ethan Fink. What's going on, dude?
Yeah, Johnny, thanks for the intro. Thanks for having me on, and you as well, Justin. Excited to talk to you guys a little bit and excited to talk to you through the computer one more time. So I'm looking forward to telling you guys a little bit about my story.
So we usually don't start with questions from fans on Twitter, but one person said there's a goalie out there who just recently won a Kelly Cup last year, is 2-0 in the AHL in his first year pro, and he's looking to sign somewhere. He's a free agent right now. What do you gotta say about that?
I mean, sounds like your agent's not doing his job. So. Might have to switch it up, but
I love it. I got put on the spot a little bit. Laz wanted me to rip that one out there for you. So
just asking for a friend.
I need more Jewish clients. So any Jewish hockey players, I don't see why they're not with me.
I was gonna say, so did you guys know each other prior? Like, how'd you guys meet?
We just kind of connected through mutual friends a couple years ago, and then have been keeping in touch on random things. And then Johnny was out in LA for a little bit, but we never ended up seeing each other, but just kind of kept in contact. And I mean, hopefully next time we're doing this, we're actually in person, but
yeah,
Johnny's little LA stint that he had.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to get back, so hopefully soon we can link up.
It's not a bad place, so I've been there my whole life for a reason.
Well, can you also tell us about just like growing up in LA, youth hockey there, and you know, your experience being a hockey player from LA? Because you know, a lot of us, we're East Coast guys, we don't know that many. I mean, I know there's like a solid crew. I know you're 93, right?
Yeah, so I'm a 93. I grew up, I actually started playing roller hockey. I got into it through a kid who's still one of my best friends today. I was walking to school one morning and he was playing street hockey in his front yard. And I was like, oh, this is way cooler than baseball or soccer, which is what I was doing at the time. And I was in kindergarten or first grade. And I had to finish the current baseball season I was in. But after that, I just jumped right into hockey and played roller hockey for, I think, a year. And then jumped right into ice hockey, played squirt B, and then kind of just ascended the ranks and grew up playing at the West Valley Wolves, which turned to the California Heat, and then kind of bounced around between the team called the Vipers and then a team called the Lightning, and then finished the Junior Kings, and always kind of played double A, triple A. I was always a good player, not the best player on my team or anything, but super obsessed with hockey, dedicated, loved going to games, meeting players, was obsessed with the gear, Bauer, Easton, you know it. And actually by happenstance, I was kind of finishing high school, not sure what I was going to do, whether I wanted to go away and play junior or take a year and play another year at AAA because you have that extra year of eligibility left. And I decided to play for the Junior Kings 18 AAA team and then was lucky enough to get a job working at Easton as an intern, which really propelled my career and propelled me to where I am today. And it was a really random way it happened. I was at the NHL draft in 2010 when it was in LA, and Easton had a booth set up because they had this whole little fan fest outside, outside Staples Center. And my dad was like, you need to come to this breakfast with me. Like, my dad owns an import company that sells toys and jewelry all over the world. And FedEx is a big client of his, and they were a big NHL sponsor at the time. So his FedEx rep invited him to this breakfast with Gary Bettman and Luke Robitaille. And I was like, Dad, I'm tired. I don't give a shit. I don't want to go. And he's like, no, you have to go. Like, you might meet interesting people. And like, he never knew, neither of us knew what would happen, but I went to this breakfast. It was fine. And then I kind of hung out the rest of the day downtown waiting for my friends to show up for the draft, because the first round was Friday night, and Easton and Bauer and all those equipment companies had booths. So I kind of just spent my day like talking to the reps that were in the Easton booth and the Bauer booth. And in the Easton booth, I randomly got the number and email of this guy, Chris Norqual, who was the skate product manager. And I reached out to him and thought nothing would happen, but he ended up hitting me back like a week later and was like, hey, it's cool that you're in LA. We're always looking for people to test product and form a relationship. And then about 6 months later, I ended up meeting him, and they just kind of saw how enthusiastic I was and how much knowledge I had and that I could help them. So they offered me an internship after my senior year of high school that was just 8 hours a week. And then after the first week, they were like, hey, you can work here as long as you want. Like, you're helpful. We need you. It's beneficial. So because of that, the president of Easton, that's when I decided to play 18 AAA for a year and take the year off between senior year of high school and college. I played a year of midget AAA at the Kings, was working at Easton. It was going great. And the president of Easton was like, hey, you know what? You should stay in LA and go to school here somewhere. Like, I know you could play Division III hockey or walk on somewhere, Division I maybe, but I promise you this will be more beneficial for your career and your life. And he ended up being right. And I got to know my boss, Pat Persaunder, in that time because his kids were also playing with the Junior Kings, and he was coaching a team with Rob Blake and Nelson Emerson. So I got really close with that Squirt A team and kind of would get on the ice with them a lot because I was just working and playing hockey and didn't have any school or responsibilities. So I was spending my time networking and being at the rink and doing all that. And I got to know John Stevens really well, the assistant coach of the Kings at that time. So to fast forward a little bit, I enrolled at school at LMU, played club hockey there, had a great time, and continued to work at Easton and would work for Pat in the summers and kind of just be around and assist him with whatever he needed, whether it was picking the boys up from school here or there, giving his kids as many sticks as they wanted. Like, I kind of used my power at Easton strategically to give sticks to people that I thought could benefit me down the road. Not in a bad way.
But yeah, no, smart.
Off. And to fast forward a little bit more, the president of Easton left. He ended up becoming the president of the St. Louis Blues, and we still keep in touch. The other guy that was kind of one of the heads at Easton at the time left and went to run Lululemon for a little while. So those were good connections to have. And then the first day of my junior year of school, John Stevens called me and was like, hey, what are you doing, Ethan? I was like, I'm just walking home from class. What's up? And he's like, well, our video coach needs some help. Like, he's overworked, and a lot of teams have two video coaches now, and I think it'd be a great opportunity for you. And I was like, yeah, I mean, this is the most random call I could have gotten, asking me to work for an NHL team. So of course I'm interested. And at that point with school, like I was doing fine in school, but I figured it would figure itself out. Like these opportunities and the work was much more interesting to me than school. And even all along being in college, I kind of had a bad opinion of it because I was working at Easton at the time. And I was like, the stuff I'm learning here and the real world experience I'm getting is so much better than sitting in a classroom. But I know I knew I had to get a degree, and I was never against that. It just was something I wrestled with in my head because I was enjoying the work so much more. So I started working for the Kings my junior year, and was basically only working at home games and would come to practice once in a while. And midway through the year, like probably in January or February, the guy that was my boss had some personal issues, had to leave the team. So Rob Blake called me when I was in class one day. He's like, "Hey, we have a ticket for you to fly to Vancouver and meet the team. Like, you're gonna travel with the team for the rest of the year." And I was a 20 or 21 year old junior in college, flying on the team charter, having my own hotel room at the Ritz and the Four Seasons in whatever city, basically living like an NHL player and having the time of my life, but also working really hard because that video room is a lot of work and there's a lot of pressure because everyone dies with the wins and losses. And I mean, I got to work real closely with Daryl Sutter and John Stevens and Davis Payne, Bill Ranford and all the players. And it was a great experience. So going into my senior year, I interned at CAA full-time during the summer and did some stuff for the Kings and then worked full-time for the Kings my senior year. So I was there 7 days a week, mostly at 6:30 AM and would travel with them full-time. Was at all 82 games. And I mean, it was such a good experience. It was intense because I had classes and I kind of tried to schedule those all at night so that I could be at work all day. And if I told teachers basically at the beginning of the year, like, this is what I'm doing. You can fail me if you want. I'm going to do my best to get my work done, but my focus is on this job because I think it's a lot more interesting. And for the most part, they were all super understanding and agreed with my perspective. And my parents were obviously super supportive and wanted me to pursue this work because they knew it was more interesting to me. And it was something I was really passionate about. So I ended up doing that. And then,
I think you just answered every question we had.
Yeah, the podcast is over, but yeah, to shorten it up a little bit more, and you guys can slice and dice and cut that however you want.
That was awesome. I'm curious what you majored in at LMU.
I was a finance major originally, but then I graduated school in 2016, but still had three or four outstanding classes. So I switched to marketing for a little bit, and then I switched to management just because I went to work at CA right when school ended, or I went to Thailand and Bali for 2 weeks or three weeks with some buddies. And then I ended up working at CAA after getting chewed out by Dean Lombardi, the GM at the time, because he is a really intense guy and liked me and knew I was young and hungry and aggressive. And I kind of walked up to his office and told him I was leaving, and he screamed at me for 15 minutes and talked about how agents are the fucking most worthless scumbag humans. He just screamed at me for 20 minutes, and Rob Blake came up to me after. He's like, "Ethan, don't listen to him. Like, you're making a good decision and I'm really happy for you." And me and Rob still have a really good relationship. And Dean is working for the Flyers right now, I think, but he kind of stays in the shadows, and he's an intense, very smart guy, but different style than most. And so I went to work at CAA, but still had classes to finish. And for a while, actually, it was tough. CA couldn't officially hire me because I wasn't a college graduate. So I got hired through this side agency. And then within 2 or 3 months, Pat was able to work it out and I got officially hired. But I came to CA and then basically finished my school a year and a half later, but was doing it like once a week for a couple semesters. So I've been there since. It's been, I think, 5.5 years, and it's been a really, really interesting experience. It's always changing and evolving.
I'm curious to know, did you ever have an agent yourself when you were playing, or no?
No, I was never good enough to have an agent.
Well, I didn't know, because it's funny. I feel like a lot of agents today are like former hockey players, which is pretty crazy. I feel like that could be a reason, like maybe guys in the past have had issues with agents and they want to help hockey players. But it feels like from your situation, kind of all worked out and fell right into your lap. Obviously, you put in the work and stuff like that, but it was just a really great situation.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the reason I wanted to do it is I never knew growing up, like, yeah, I wanted to play in the NHL, but that was an unrealistic goal. By the time I was 15 or 16, it was an unrealistic goal just because I didn't mature as fast as some of those kids. And I just wasn't at that level. Like, maybe if I would have played Division I hockey and done that, like, I actually became a better player later on and could have played in the ECHL or AHL probably at some point, but who knows? I'm happy with the path I took and it's all worked out. But to answer your initial question, I think meeting Pat really inspired me to be an agent because I saw what he got to do every day. I saw the way he worked. I saw the experiences he got to have and the way he got to have relationships with players. And now I've got to experience quite a bit of that myself. And I mean, I think the agency business is a little bit screwed up because there are all these small agents that go out and try to recruit these 12 and 13 and 14 year olds, which is the part of the business I actually hate the most, but they can't get these other clients any other way. So they figure if I make a relationship with this 12 or 13 year old, then he's going to stick with me and hopefully he becomes the next Connor McDavid or Austin Matthews. But usually those players that are so elite end up leaving those small guys because they don't have enough power. And
yeah,
in Sweden, there's actually a great rule where you can't recruit kids till the year of their 16th birthday. And I wish it was like that in North America because so many kids that are elite 14 year olds are nothing by the time they're 18. And then there's kids that are not good 13 year olds. And by the time they're 21, they're playing in the NHL. So it's such a imperfect science. And I mean, we're lucky that we have a really strong team and a good reputation. So recruiting those young kids for us isn't really that hard, but it's still a dogfight to keep them happy and to service them. There's always people in their ears saying, look, your CA is too big. They're not going to do this for you or you're going to be forgotten. But it's, I think, an ever-changing business, which is good.
And just to be clear too, like those 13, 14-year-old kids, like, you know, they're not paying you, right? Like you're doing it all for free, just kind of investing in them, hoping one day it kind of comes back in your favor. That's, I think a lot of people don't really understand that because I know a lot of, I mean, just from growing up in hockey, a lot of parents like ask me, oh, do you have an advisor? And, you know, sometimes I say, yeah, I did. But we gave him like $500. Like, that's not really usually the case sometimes. Like, a lot of guys, if you're that good, will do it for free as an investment.
Right. I mean, the way we do it now actually is we charge each client like a one-time fee of $300. And that's just to protect their NCAA eligibility. But I know there's agents out there that are charging $5,000 a year to put you in a college or $3,000 a year to get you a scholarship. And we actually get a lot of requests about emails saying, hey, Pat, like, can you represent me? Or do you have an agent you can recommend? And a lot of it's kids that his sons have played with or people just that we've come into contact with. And it's hard for us to recommend other agents because we can't take on everybody. It's not, we really only want kids that are going to be in it. We target NHL players. We're not really interested if you're not going to play in the NHL. And obviously, if you're a 14-year-old kid that we think is going to play in the NHL and ends up making it to CIS or plays Division I and then plays in the ECHL, we'll obviously see it through and support you like we would any other client. But there's kids that are average midget players that want us to represent them. And we're saying, hey, we can't do that. But we always come to a dilemma, like where do we point them or what do we recommend to them? Because we obviously don't want them to spend $5,000 on this agent that probably doesn't even have any relationships. But it's hard to, like, we think we're the best at what we do. So it's hard to say, oh, you should go to this competitor, but it's a tough one. I think there's room for someone to come in and do a good job and charge a fair price. Like maybe if you're someone that's not going to play in the NHL, but can play Division I, but needs help with relationships, you could have a business charging guys $1,000 a year and you're not screwing anybody or hurting anyone. But we also like to tell kids, if you're good enough, they're going to find you. And if you go, if you play in the USHL or the North American League and you reach out to coaches on your own and call schools and do the work yourself, like you're probably going to end up in the right spot. So that's actually usually what we recommend is just try to do it yourself for as long as you can. And then if you really need an agent, we'll be there when the time is right. But
that's actually what I did, but the agent never came.
Well, maybe you'll have a podcasting agent sooner than later.
Exactly. To blow up, so. I think you were the one who told me though, Fink, when we made that initial connection, everyone ends up in men's league someday. So may as well get started thinking about your career.
Exactly. I mean, whether you play 20 years in the NHL or 20 years of youth hockey, you end up in the same place. So
I don't know. When I play men's league, I'm definitely not going to be a goalie. Like, there's no shot. Like, I'm definitely changing positions. Like, there's no, like,
then being a men's league goalie sucks because no one plays defense. Yeah. You just get shelled all game. So who wants to do that?
No, it's a joke. But I also think it's great that, like, in your position, like you said, like, you guys can't be hiring these kids, like these like midget AA players who like think they're going to be the next Gretzky. But like, you have to be realistic. I guess from your standpoint, being an average midget player yourself, you could be like, buddy, I understand. I was there.
Just try to be an agent, man.
Well, I guess too, like in today's day and age, like I remember there were kids growing up whose like dad had the video camera, like filming them, whatever. But now are kids like DMing you their like highlight tape? Like it's gotta be kind of nuts.
Yeah, there's some of that. I mean, everyone's so accessible now that and our emails are all on the NHLPA website. So we're getting tons of emails of this or that and DMs here and there. But a lot of the elite kids, like everyone knows who the elite kids are, just like when we played, and it's easier to get highlights of everybody because there's cameras in every rink and that whole thing. But I'd say we're not really getting DMs from kids, but people are passing us information more and more.
Was there ever, I want to rewind a little bit also, was there ever a time, like, you know, you kind of talked about how you were grinding through college, how you had a job through high school and hockey. Like, was there a time where you were like, man, I'm not cut out for this, or, you know, I should take that finance job or something like that? Like, was there ever, you know, that feeling of adversity? Like, I don't know if I'm cut out for the agency life or just, you know, life in hockey itself.
I mean, obviously everyone evaluates what they're doing all the time. I mean, sometimes I think I should have been an investment banker, or I should have done this or that, but at the end of the day, I really enjoy what I do. And I mean, I think I'm good at what I do and I've made good relationships. And a lot of times I don't think of it as a job. Like, there's a lot worse things I could be doing. And maybe there's things that would pay me more money today, but I probably wouldn't enjoy them very much the way I do this job. And I mean, there's good days and bad days and everything, but if you look at the bigger picture and what I get to do on a day-to-day basis and week-to-week basis, a lot of it is a lot of fun. And I've had some really unique, fun, special experiences that could never be replicated if I was doing something else. And have some of my clients have become some of my best friends, which is something I really enjoy too. So I think I wouldn't say I ever thought I wasn't cut out for this.
Definitely. I'm kind of curious. I want to know your top moment playing hockey at Loyola. And I also want to know your top moment working for the LA Kings.
Okay. I'd say top moment playing hockey at Loyola was we beat Northern Arizona, who was like the number one team in the region all the time. We beat them, I think, at home my junior year, which is a lot of fun. And then making it to the regional championship my last 2 years was, or I think my sophomore and junior year, because I didn't play very much my senior year, but those were good accomplishments because the program had never done it. So that was a lot of fun. And then top moment with the Kings. We had a lot of fun on a preseason trip to Vegas. My second year, we all went out, the whole team went out one night, which was great. And then, I don't know, the whole thing, like, it all kind of blends together. But some of it was just like the dinners we'd go to on the road with the coaches were a lot. Actually, here's a good one. We were in Chicago. This is a kind of a funny moment. We were in Chicago the last year I was working for the team, and I was at dinner with, I think, Dean Lombardi, Rob Blake, John Stevens, Daryl, Bill Ranford, Davis, and then the other guy, Sampson, I work with, who's still there. And we were having a conversation, and I inserted my opinion, and the conversation stopped. And Dean was like, "Did you just open your mouth? What the fuck did you say? Who the fuck do you think you are?" Like, he roasted me for 5 minutes in the middle of this fancy restaurant in Chicago. And the table was cracking up. And I mean, he was just trying to prove a point of like, no, I don't care. He wasn't saying, I don't care about your opinion, but he was saying, understand the room you're sitting in, and you're sitting with some Hall of Famers and guys that have coached 1,000 games, and they don't really give a fuck about what you have to say. That wasn't really necessarily true, but it was actually a good learning lesson and things I've encountered since then. And that was six years ago, I guess, but it's something that's kind of stuck with me. And I might've been the loud, cocky kid before, and I definitely still have a lot of confidence and believe in myself and believe in what I have to say, but sometimes there's a time and a place to insert your opinion, which I think was a good lesson at the time.
I can just picture it now. Hey, Daryl, I think you should do the drop pass and the power play breakout. Like, you know, I would do this. I would do the same thing. Like, I wouldn't think twice. Yeah.
If you're 20 and you're doing that, you kind of think you know everything and that you have it all figured out, but
you get too comfortable.
Always learn. And I was obviously, I'm a pretty confident, comfortable person in social settings. And I just thought, why not? Like, this is what I believe. So
You're like, what's the coach's name in Ted Lasso? Like, he gets the job in the second season, I think. What's his name again?
I'm not there yet, actually. I'm still on season one.
Yeah. Sam, I just started. It's like the little guy that they kind of like treat like shit.
I know exactly.
I'm gonna get made fun of for not knowing his name because I talk about how great the show is all the time. But shows how much I pay attention. But I need to know now. Like, you're walking on that team plane for the first time. Like, you must have been shitting your pants.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, first time I actually flew to Vancouver, and actually the guy there's a lot of stories, but like I flew to Vancouver to meet the team, and we walk into this, the Rosewood in Vancouver. And I was like, holy fuck, this hotel is amazing. Like I didn't grow up like not staying in nice hotels or anything, but it was just like, wow, this is the NHL. This is for real. And then you show up to the pregame meal and there's all the food you can eat. And then you get off, you go into the locker room after the game and there's pizza in the locker room. And then you get on the plane and there's a filet mignon or chicken or whatever pasta you want. And then there's ice cream. It's like, they call it the Never Hungry League because it's so easy to get fat if you're not a player. Even if you are a player, some of them get fat, but it's just food everywhere. But yeah, I mean, walking on the plane, the guys would have a good time with me because they knew I was like eyes wide open. Like this is wild. And I mean, they're used to it because it's there every day, but they knew it was a cool experience for me. And they, I would always, I had a lot of suits because I mean, I like to wear suits and I like to
You're a big suit guy. It's, I saw you post it every day. It's suit season.
It is. It's back. I'm back in, well, sort of back in the office, which I missed, but the guys had said I'd have more suits than they do because I'd always bring three suits on a road trip or whatever, but it was fun.
You do have good style.
What?
You do have good style.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Something I like and I'm passionate about. So
no, I took a note out of your book on my Italy trip. Got some nice plaid pants.
There you go.
Made me proud. Cap just rocks the Lululemon because his girlfriend's a manager there. I don't blame him.
Half the conversations I have with clients now are just about clothes. Like there's a few guys that we just go back and forth all day long about this and that. And it's, I mean, it's an interesting business too. And there's a lot of people I know that style athletes and shop for athletes. And it's something that like, I think the NBA has done well with the way dress, and it's created so much attention around the sport and created attention for these guys outside just the sport. So I think if hockey can get away from the suits, like I like the suits.
I was just going to ask that.
The mandatory suits is something guys say that they wish they would get away from. And I
that's
think it's
crazy.
Sooner than later.
You disagree? I agree with you, Fink. You like the suits, Cap?
No. It's crazy that it's mandatory. Like let the guys like obviously clean up nice, wear like you're gonna dress respectful, obviously, but like wear whatever you want. Not whatever you want, but to a certain degree. It doesn't have to be suits.
Yeah, I mean the NBA pushes it pretty far. Like those guys wear whatever they want.
Yeah, they're wearing like shorts. They're wearing
Russell Westbrook wears like a dress.
That's their style. But like hockey players aren't gonna do that. You know, like hockey
some would, dude. Some would, I think.
I mean, you see what Austin Matthews wears a couple times. Like, I mean, he's got great
style. Yeah, he likes to push it for sure. Yeah, he's got awesome style. Like, I think if this were to happen, like Barzal would do some cool stuff, and Pettersson would definitely do some cool stuff, and then some of the Swedes definitely would wear more interesting things. And then some guys would just wear jeans and a t-shirt. Like there's some of the guys that really don't care at all. And then some guys get really into it. So
it was a lot more lenient back in the day. I feel like a lot of guys back in the day would walk in and just whatever the fuck they wanted.
Completely.
I feel like we'll get back to a point where guys will be wearing whatever they want. I mean, think about like the extra money that comes in too. Like all these companies would pay so much money to have these guys walking through the tunnel in their clothes, you know?
Yeah, no, I've talked to brands too before and they're like, well, could they wear our stuff into the rink? And I'm like, well, not really, but so I think sooner than later it'll come.
Yeah, I know the company. Have you talked to Overtime ever? You know that company, big in basketball?
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Their whole premise is like owning the tunnel. So I actually pitched them hockey and it didn't turn out. But if you want to take on that challenge.
Yeah, no,
I'll take a cut.
I mean, after the bubble, actually, in the playoffs a couple of years ago, guys were able to wear whatever they wanted. So after that, guys kind of thought coming into this year, it would be back to normal, but still wearing suits. So
which one of your clients is, best style in your personal opinion?
I think Adrian Kempe dresses pretty well. He's one of my best friends, and he loves clothes, and he dresses well, and he's European, so he knows how to wear clothes. Pettersson wears cool stuff. He's definitely into dressing well. Phil Dubois has good style. He likes to wear cool stuff and loves to shop and doesn't like to just wear designer everything. He likes to find cooler pieces. So I think that's pretty neat. And then if I had to pick one more, I'd probably say,
well, your new client, Ikes.
Yeah, Ikes likes style. Actually, we got together in LA.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, we went out for a couple of beers and had dinner, and we hit it off. He's actually a great kid and great person.
He seems like the man.
Hopefully everything gets figured out with him pretty soon here. But he definitely likes to dress well and is interested in fashion too. So not many places to go in Buffalo, but
yeah,
when he's on the road, he can definitely dress up.
No, definitely. Can you also walk
us? One I left out is Pasta. He'll wear whatever.
Guy's a stud.
Yeah. He's just an amazing human too. Like just such a good person.
He's probably top five guys in the league that I'd want to just like go out with.
Yeah, no, he doesn't care who you are. I love the time of your life with you. And I've been out with him in Prague and been at All-Star games with him. And he's definitely one of a kind.
I'm sure a lot of people listening are also super curious too. Can you run us through like a day in your life right now? I guess, you know, kind of, you know, you can do a day in the life, how it's been the last year and a half with COVID, and then, you know, what it's typically like in the office.
Yeah, so with COVID, it's obviously been different. I mean, at the beginning of COVID, it was, what the hell is going on? What are we going to do? Is the season starting up? And then it shifted into getting players back home. And then what's going to happen with the bubble and yada, yada. But I mean, for most of COVID, a day in the life was get up, check in with Jim Hughes, actually, who's the Hughes boys' father, that him and I work real closely together. And then this kid, Matt, in Detroit, we kind of all work on a lot of things together. So I'd be on calls with them and we'd figure out what we'd have to tackle during the day. And then I'd call a couple of players and see what's going on with them. Like, is their injury okay? Or is their skating okay? Like, what's up with, maybe they have an issue with their trainer or something like that. So kind of tackling different issues. And then, we have like different calls with our group set throughout the week. So we have a marketing call on Wednesdays and we have usually like a hockey development call on Tuesdays, and we have like recruiting calls sometimes throughout the week. So a lot of it's like kind of free flowing, and in the off season, so obviously different than during the season, and being in the office, it's different than not being in the office, but a lot of it's just checking in on guys and making sure they have what they need. And you don't want to be overbearing and annoy guys and be texting them every single day, but sometimes you can have a sense if they need something or if there's an action item you need to follow up on. A lot of it's just connecting with things and then closing things out and moving on to the next thing. So, and then I'll usually talk to Pat and JP, the heads of our group, once a day about different things. And I usually check in with like Klaus and Peter and Yanni, our agents in Sweden and Finland, because I do a lot with that side of our business. So I'm kind of encompassing a lot of different things and connecting with a lot of different people, but it's definitely a lot of texting and a lot of time on the phone. And then I'll jump into random things as well that Pat and others in the group have me help with. So, but a normal day in the life typically would be, I always like to work out at like 5:30 or 6:00. So I'll do that. And then usually get to the office by 9 or 9:30. But if there's a team in town playing the Kings, we'll usually have breakfast with our clients on that team. So like say the Blackhawks play the Kings at 7:30 on a Tuesday night. On Tuesday morning, we'll have breakfast with those guys downtown, like Kane and Taves and Kurashev and Bodan and Tyler Johnson, and the Joneses. Like that's actually a team with a lot of CA guys. But we'd go out breakfast with them.
We can't just let that go.
We'd have breakfast with them usually from like 10 to 11, then they'd go skate. And then we'd go back to the office from like 11 to 5:30. And then I pretty much go to every game that the Kings play at home, and I'll go to some Ducks games as well. And not necessarily because I have to, but I actually like watching the games and yeah, I enjoy fun. It and I'm not burned out by it yet. So I usually go to the games and then wait after and see the guys after the game. So game day is like, I get up at 6:00 and I get home at midnight. So it's a long day, but on a non-game day, I typically do the same morning routine, get the office by 9:30, and then start to tackle different things. And you never know what's going to come at us. Like during the season, guys are getting hurt, guys are getting scratched, guys want to get traded. There's issues. There's guys in junior that are looking to commit to colleges. There's guys in youth hockey that are trying to figure out where to play junior next year. So we're kind of always tackling different tasks, and then usually leave the office around 6 or 6:30 and then watch hockey at night. And then you deal with the fallout of the games. Like this guy tweaked his ankle, or this guy didn't play. This guy played 11 minutes tonight. Why'd that happen, or what's going on? So a lot of it's very reactionary, especially because we get information so quickly now, and we can text our clients the second the game ends, or we can be texting other people within our group about what's going on. So it's a lot of, I mean, during the season, it's later nights just because being on the West Coast, I think, is an advantage.
For sure.
And you get to see everything end by basically 10 o'clock. I mean, if I was on the East Coast and the Western games weren't ending till 1:00, it'd be not as great because you have to stay up super late to see what was happening, or you'd risk missing it till the morning. But I think us being super responsive and available is definitely important to what we do.
Yeah, it's a 24/7 job.
Mm-hmm.
Without a doubt, that's definitely what it sounds like. Ethan, we'd love to do a little segment on this podcast called the Matzah Ball Minute Questions.
All right. Sounds good.
Who's your favorite client to go out to dinner with, and what restaurant in LA is your favorite?
Favorite client to go have dinner with? I don't know. I mean, PL Dubois is probably one of my best friends, so I like going out with him. Don't get to see him as often as I'd like, but if we're going to go somewhere in LA, I'd probably take him to, I mean, I like going to San Vicente Bungalows a lot right now, which is a private club I joined. And then if I wasn't going to do that, I'd probably say Elefante, because it's a great spot. So guys always enjoy going there.
Eggplant.
Eggplant dip always, for sure.
That's good. That is good shit. I went there. That place was, everywhere I looked, I was in LA, you know, obviously I talked about it, but every time I went to Elefante, I went to Elefante like twice, but whenever you walk in there, every turn you make, you just think someone famous is sitting there. Like, it's insane. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone just looks famous.
There's lots to look at there.
Yeah.
Reviews, everything. So
what was the first place you said? Bungalow?
It's this place, San Vicente Bungalows.
Oh, I remember it. Cool though.
Sounds like a good
thing. You're in LA.
Yeah.
Ethan, who's the one client that got away? Obviously, there's, you know, clients can get rid of their agents and get stuff like that, but who's the one guy you guys were maybe trying to get and didn't end up working out?
I'd say there's a few. I mean, in terms of recruiting guys from a young age, like, we approached Quentin Byfield, didn't end up working out. I'd say the biggest one is Shane Wright, that we really should have had, and then someone in our group relocated, and that's basically the main reason we don't have him. And it's not that person's fault for relocating. It's just the circumstance that the circumstance didn't work out. But Shane Wright was really close to being a client. He's probably going to be the number one pick in this upcoming draft. So
where's he playing? I haven't even heard of him.
He plays for Kingston in the OHL.
Gotcha. Okay. Bedard, I guess Bedard's still too young, right?
No, we recruited him as well and didn't get him, but we probably didn't pursue him hard enough at the time, and they made a decision quicker kind of than we expected. So it's just kind of how it happens sometimes.
For sure. What are some of your favorite things to do in the off season?
I like to travel a lot. Like, I love going to Europe, and I mean, I've gone to Sweden in the off season on a personal trip, and a lot of it's been just to hang out with clients, but it's a ton of fun. I like to golf a lot. I like to play hockey. I play twice a week on Sundays and Mondays with a pretty good group of guys. So that's a lot of fun. Love to shop. We talked about fashion earlier. So, but that's not just an off season thing. That's a constant thing. And then, I don't know. I mean, just enjoy the time at the beach. The weather in California is always amazing. So can't go wrong with that. And then go to good restaurants, because I love food too. So
sounds like good life to me.
Yeah,
I think we got to ask too, because we ask almost everyone that comes on here who's in a relationship, how'd you meet your girlfriend?
Well,
we try to set up the single ones, so we got to ask about the ones in relationships. So.
For sure. No, I met her. Actually, she used to work for a different hockey agent, and we ran into each other a couple times at the All-Star game a few years ago. It was just high and by, nothing serious. And then reconnected at Bungalow in Santa Monica actually a few months ago, and then just kind of hit it off, and that's how it started. So it's been good.
Friends first, always the best way.
Guess so. It's what they say. Okay.
All right, last one for you, without being biased, because you did mention him quite a bit throughout the interview. Better LA King defenseman, Doughty or Rob Blake?
He's not gonna answer that.
Yeah, it's hard to go wrong. I mean, they both had amazing careers and they'll both be Hall of Famers, so giving you a boring answer, but I think it's a good answer.
I'm going to say Rob, so that's my answer. I'll
leave it at that. Better hip check.
Fink, I got to ask you this question. How many times do you get Fink's got the eye of the Jew? You must get that joke all the time.
No, I don't. I really don't.
Really?
What do you mean? No.
You ever seen Beerfest?
No, I'm the worst with movies. I haven't seen
any. Oh, my God. You haven't seen Beerfest?
So you don't get – there's a lot of Finkel, like Finkel and Einhorn. You never seen Ace Ventura?
Nope.
Oh my God. Well, there's a character, Fink, in Beerfest, and like, he's like the token Jew of the friend group, and he's the anchor in one of the drinking scenes, and like, in his eye is like a Jewish star, and they're all screaming. Fink's got the eye of the Jew.
I should have Jewish stars in my eyes. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
You do have to go watch that though. Beerfest, the classic.
Yeah. My dad's going to be ashamed listening to this right now.
Yeah.
Well, that's my dad's like favorite line.
By the time it comes out, I'll have watched it. So.
All right, good. Well, we got some two final questions for you. I'll hit you with this.
You guys have said it's the last question like 5 times.
Have we?
No, I did. Before.
Keep them coming.
Wait, we said last question? Oh, no, in the Mothball minute. Whatever. All right. We got 10 more last questions for you.
Perfect. I'm ready.
But we'll go with this one. If you can give advice to your 15-year-old self, what would you tell him?
I'd say to keep meeting as many people as you can and definitely put yourself in rooms and situations that would be beneficial to you. And I mean, read as many books as you can, try to learn as much about as many things as you can, and just keep following your passion and dreams. I mean, I can't say I'm disappointed as to where I've ended up, and I still have a long way to go, but I think my parents obviously set a great foundation for me and let me kind of follow my passions and dreams. So just say, keep doing that and keep pursuing your goals and kind of let life take you in the direction it's going to take you. And don't worry too much about tomorrow or what happened yesterday. Just kind of be in the present and do the best you can one day at a time.
So you're a book guy, not a movie guy.
Yeah. I like to read. I should read more than I do, but
I got books from there, from that answer.
I've read more books probably than movies. Say,
are you one of those guys who always says the book's better than the movie?
I mean, probably, because I don't usually watch the movie. Yeah. So
that's funny. I hate those guys. Well, I just hate reading, so you know, that's just how it is.
Yeah, when but, you get a little older, you like it.
The actual last one for you. You know, Cappy and I kind of started this around the fact that we thought the hockey community was very similar to the Jewish community, and we're obviously a part of both, just like you. So, you know, for you growing up being Jewish, playing hockey, you know, where you are now, how has being Jewish and being a part of both communities kind of impacted you to where you are? Like through the connections and everything, you know?
Sure. No, I think there's a lot of similarities, like you said, like growing up playing hockey, even though I was in California, I was one of the few Jewish kids. So no one really thought much of it. I mean, I was Jewish, but nobody cared. Like, it's like you're black or you're white. Nobody cares. Like, everyone's the same. So I think the hockey community is great because it's very familial and everyone's friendly. Everyone comes together. And I feel like the Jewish community is similar. Like, it's not such an intense religion. Like, I think it's, my mom and dad say it's kind of a set of beliefs and values and way to live your life. And I think hockey's similar because if you're a hockey player, you have to have certain values and goals and beliefs, and you have to do things a certain way to be successful. So I think, kind of, if I'm making any sense,
no, you are,
like, common thread that you have to, in order to be a Jew, a good Jew or a good hockey player, you have to have beliefs and values and goals and do things the right way, and your life will end up being all right if you do that. So
yeah,
and no, treat people the right way.
That made perfect sense. And I think I'd be I get ripped on if I don't give a shout out to some of my LA hockey friends that we might know in common, like the Riveras.
Yep.
David Jacobson's one of them. Benny Lown.
David's one of a kind.
Yeah, he is. I think he's actually pretty mad at me right now, but we'll ignore that.
Pretty mad at me?
No, he's mad at me.
He's probably mad at me too.
I'll tell you why off air. But Carter Horowitz. I don't know if you know him. The Goldbergs. We got a lot.
Yep.
Yeah.
You should have the Rivera brothers on sometime.
I would love to have them. They're fucking awesome. Three of my favorite guys.
Great guys.
But we want to give you a chance to plug anything you want to, if there's anything you got, you know, side projects you're working on. I don't know.
No real side projects at the moment, but any Jewish NHL players that want to be represented by a Jew, here's your guy.
We can definitely endorse. That's a fact.
Yep. Got to get all the Jews with me. So
maybe we'll have Foxy leave his agency and come over to you.
Yeah, he'd be all right. Norris Trophy, that's fine.
Definitely Chase Prisky.
Chase Prisky.
Yeah, he's got a contract, so wouldn't be so bad either.
Mm-hmm. Oh, baby.
But now we'll have to get together, guys, when I'm in New York next. And
let me know if you're ever in Florida. That's where I'm at right now. So
I definitely owe you one. So thanks for having me on, guys. It was a lot of fun and really looking forward to seeing how it turns out.
Yeah, thanks, Fake. Appreciate it.
You got it.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. We hope you guys love that interview with our boy, Ethan Fink. Such a cool story he has, just like how he become an agent now and like just his whole road. It's kind of like a junior hockey story, you know, just like kind of grinded the whole way up. And, you know, he was lucky enough to get a great bounce and meet some extraordinary people. And he's absolutely killing it now. So we're so happy for him. And we hope the future is nothing but just great.
great success. But yeah, no, dude, great guy. And it was cool just to kind of shoot the shit with him. Like, you know, most of our conversations have kind of been work related. Like I reached out to him 2 or 3 years ago just to network and, you know, see how he got to where he was. Cause I was thinking about trying to be an agent at the time. And we've always kind of just kept in touch because we ran in a similar circle. So, you know, very cool to have him on here. Definitely a little overdue. Very cool story. Loved hearing about him traveling with the LA Kings. That's so cool. And it's obviously, you know, something all of us would dream of doing. But, you know, finally happy that we got him on. And I'm sure he'll be back on again at some point because, you know, he's just a good friend of ours. So great to finally have him.
Definitely. Yeah. I'm sure there was a lot of cool stories that he couldn't tell us as well. But just I can't even imagine some of the experiences he's had so far. But I do want to say off Ethan a little bit. My brother called me the other day, Johnny. And literally, this is a true story. He just like was randomly having trouble sleeping, stuff like that. So guess what I recommended him?
Mindset Wellness CBD?
Oh, you're right.
Did he get some?
He did. He did get some Mindset Wellness CBD.
Well, as we all know, I love Mindset Wellness CBD. I use it literally every day. Happy Gummies are my favorite. I'm holding them right here. I took 2 before the recording. Right here, these little puppies. Almost out, so I need a refill. John and Renee, love you guys. Need a refill of my Happy Gummies because I need to be happy every day. But yeah, man, now that summer's over and New York City is getting a little cold, it was chilly, it was rainy today, got to take those Happy Gummies to stay in a good mood because we all know how New Yorkers can be. You know, everyone's a little pissed off all the time, walking around in the city, going to the subway, going to the train. So use our code LOCKET10, get 10% off your order plus free shipping at mindsetwellness.com and get the Happy Gummies, man, because they are awesome. Like I said, I use them every day. So go to mindsetwellness.com and check them out on Instagram at mindsetwellnessCBD and use our code LOCKET10 for 10% off and free shipping. I think that's going to wrap it up for this week's episode. You got any final thoughts, Cap?
No final thoughts. Listen to the interview. We hope you guys love it. And going to the Dolphins game Sunday. I guess that should be fun.
Happy October, dude. It's October. It's crazy.
It is. Not yet, but it will be soon. A couple days. October is a big month, my birthday month. So I'm very, very excited.
Happy Cappy. And happy Cappy. Happy birthday. but we love you guys. And we'll talk to you next week.
Later.